Los Topos, Mexico's Volunteer Heroes, by Gareth Vaughan. Genre: an expository text gives information about real people and events. As you read, think about the skills needed to become a topo. Question of the week: how can we prepare for emergencies?
Earthquake in Mexico. On the morning of September 19, 1985, an 8.1 magnitude earthquake hit Mexico City. The result was devastating. An estimated 10,000 people were killed, and over 30,000 buildings were flattened, including hospitals and schools. In the aftermath, after the first initial shock, in fact, there was an almost immediate reaction from some of the city's 18 million people. Ordinary citizens showed loyalty and dedication to their fellow inhabitants by organizing teams to help those trapped in the wreckage. With little thought for their own personal safety, they went into crushed buildings to free their neighbors. And those that didn't provided food, shelter, clothing, and support to those who were left homeless. In this time of tragedy, the city came together. All in all, more than 4,000 people were rescued alive from the wreckage. There were even people rescued as much as 10 days after the initial shock. So, who were these groups of people who risked their lives to rescue those in danger? Helping Hands. Well, one of the most well-known groups were a group of youths who assembled spontaneously in the Tlatelolco area of the city, an area which suffered severe damage. They formed as a response to help the overwhelmed emergency services who were unable to cope with the widespread devastation in the area. Amazingly, these people had no training. They didn't even have any equipment. Whereas smoke jumpers, for example, are professionals and have axes and machetes to clear the underbrush when a forest fire rages, these people use their bare hands to clear the debris, risking life and limb in the process. The press named them Los Topos, or moles in English, because they were unafraid to go deep into collapsed buildings to rescue, much in the same way a mole digs deep into the earth. The year after the Mexico City earthquake, there was an earthquake in El Salvador. So, some of them went south to help out, and they haven't stopped since. Los Topos. The group became official in 1986. Their full name is the Brigada Internacional de Rescate Tlatelolco, AC. Mainly because Mexico had no rescue group for such situations, despite being an area where earthquakes are a constant occurrence. Since then, each member of the group gets specific training, particularly in first aid, climbing, and maneuvering in collapsed buildings, the use of rescue dogs, and firefighting. As they are volunteers, they are not paid and come from a variety of backgrounds. They include lawyers, doctors, psychologists, vets, engineers, and architects. Since their foundation, Los Topos have helped out in over 22 countries. The volunteers have the names of the countries where they've been written onto their jumpsuits. And now, there are about 40 permanent members. The main group is in Mexico City, but there are also groups in other cities in Mexico, and there's even one in Buenos Aires, Argentina. After the El Salvador quake, the team has worked in countries as varied as Japan, Iran, Italy, and Indonesia. Their work in Indonesia is undeniably their most difficult task to date, but proof, if any were needed, that Los Topos will do whatever they can to help those who need it most. Indonesia. Los Topos helped out during the Indonesian tsunami in 2004, although they did have some trouble getting there initially. Los Topos pay all their own expenses, which often means they have to arrive by any means possible. When the destructive tsunami struck Indonesia, Los Topos leapt into action. They managed to get cheap tickets from a Japanese airline. These tickets, however, only got them as far as Singapore. Once they got to Singapore, they couldn't afford the ferry across to Indonesia. But luckily, a minister heard them discussing their situation and gave them $400 to cross. Once in Indonesia, they ate whatever there was, if there was anything at all, slept wherever they could, and used any method available to get to the disaster sites, which usually meant hitching rides in trucks. Most of the work they had to do was to remove bodies and clean the debris left behind by the tsunami. But it's just one of the many examples which demonstrates the lengths they will go to get to any disaster zone and help those affected. Safety gear. Just as you don't go to the beach without your swimsuit, Los Topos don't respond to an earthquake without the right clothing or equipment. They wear lightweight red or orange jumpsuits because they can be easily seen this way. They are also supplied with a helmet and safety goggles. The helmet protects them from falling debris. There are always smaller earthquakes after the initial large one, and the safety goggles provide protection from smoke and dust whipped up by the wind. Flashlights attached to the helmets, called headlamps, also mean they can see in the dark. The tools they take along are usually light. Heavy equipment would make it too difficult to crawl into the small spaces, but nonetheless, essential. Everything they take is vital for getting the bodies out from the debris, such as ropes, pickaxes, hammers, shovels, electric saws, and stretchers. In addition to this, they also have medical equipment to tend to the injured and search and rescue dogs. These are specially trained to detect people in the rubble, as well as those who have sadly passed away. Los Topos have also developed a survival device that can send out a person's geo-coordinates, act as a flashlight, and play a message of encouragement to those buried under rubble. It's called the Topos Good Luck Charm. The strategy. In 2017, Los Topos were called into action once more in Mexico City. A 7.1 magnitude earthquake hit the capital and destroyed numerous buildings in the center, as well as killing over 230 people. Although the number of deaths was a tragedy, Los Topos were again able to rescue a number of people. But how do they actually go about doing this? First of all, the team has to work out a strategy. This initially means that they focus on hospitals and schools where the people, the sick and young children, are more vulnerable. Children in Mexico City are taught from an early age what to do during an earthquake. There are also frequent drills, so children will be more likely to know what to do to survive and what measures to take to protect themselves should they become trapped. The search. Once they are on site, Los Topos carry out a search using both new and old techniques. The first thing they do is talk to the people who live locally, those who have already managed to survive the initial quake and are safe. These are the people who can tell Los Topos who is missing and who is safe. However, sight is not the most reliable sense to search for the missing. It's sound. Los Topos's signal for silence is very well known in Mexico. It requires you to put your arm in the air and ball your fist. It means, be quiet. We think we can hear somebody, and dates all the way back to the earthquake in 1985. They also have a trapped person locator, which can sense tiny sounds and vibrations. Another thing they do is bang out a rhythm on the ground. If somebody who is buried hears the sound, they'll instinctively bang back to try and attract attention. Essentially, the victims can steer the rescuers in the right direction. Search and rescue dogs. Drones are useful in some natural disasters, like hurricane or flood, because they can cover a wide area. They aren't, however, suitable for checking a collapsed building. Thermal imaging is unable to pick up someone buried under tons of concrete and brick. This is where smell comes in. Like sound, smell is another useful indicator to search for missing people in the aftermath of an earthquake. This is where Los Topos use their search and rescue, SAR, dogs. SAR dogs can detect a human scent from almost half a kilometer away, and they can cover 1.3 square kilometers per day on an average basis, much more than a human can. Once a person has been detected, the lengthy and laborious process of getting someone out begins. Los topos have to find the safest way of getting that person out, and this can take a long, long time because it's often done brick by brick. Once that person is out, they are then treated by medics and taken to hospital. But Los Topos' job isn't done. They move on and start looking for the next person to rescue. The psychological factor. Being a topo is obviously physically demanding work, but the hardest part of the job is certainly the psychological toll the job takes on the rescuers. The cries from those buried under brick and concrete can be haunting. This psychological shock hits once they have pulled out the victims from the rubble. It's especially taxing for them the longer the search goes on. The likelihood of finding survivors shrinks with each passing day. But Los Topos do have counselors on hand to help them through this. And despite the mental and emotional strain, they are still fearless in their search for survivors. They know their team has their back, and they know they have a job to do. Families need to know what has happened to their loved ones, and Los Topos are there to help them find out. Sense of community. So why would someone want to become a topo? You aren't paid, and you're putting your life on the line. As we have seen, the work is extremely stressful, can be psychologically damaging, and is not a 9-to-5 job. You have to be ready whenever the call comes. It might sound like Los Topos have a death wish, but, in fact, they have a great sense of community and want to help out, much in the same way as a firefighter. The most common and noble reason why many people apply to become a topo is their sense of servitude and responsibility to their community. Just like police officers who see themselves as keepers of the peace, or doctors whose duty it is to save lives, Los Topos consider themselves as the only thing standing between the rubble and their fellow citizens. Furthermore, it is common for people who live in areas where natural disasters occur to always be alert. They may be inspired to do what they do because of personal experience. Perhaps they lost a family member or friend in an earthquake. Or perhaps they were once rescued by a topo or saw them on duty risking their lives to save another's. One final reason is the adrenaline rush. To parachute from a plane or bungee jump off a bridge certainly gets the pulse going. But it must be 10 times more exciting to save a person's life, and no other occupation can scratch that itch as much as being a topo. Adrenaline junkies are perfect for the job, since it requires unbelievable amounts of courage. But what attracts them more than anything isn't the rush. It's the idea that they can be contributing members of society.